Good morning, everyone. I'm Mary Griffith. It's Wednesday. That means Laura Sievert Heseltine is here. She just got married.
Yeah, this fall, yep.
Yeah, and now I got to... She's like every other woman who's got the... I've got a hyphen, too, but I don't use my hyphen on the air because nobody can ever pronounce Shunike, so...
But it means beautiful cheese, so you should totally go
I should just go with beautiful cheese.
Yes, Mary Beautiful Cheese.
Mary Beautiful Cheese. I mean, why should I have to translate from the German?
That's right.
So, welcome to the Mary Beautiful Cheese Show on Wednesday, starring Laura Sievert Heseltine. Yesterday, she was across the street. I made faces at her and made things, you know, I was here
it's
busy
mirrored.
Working.
Yeah, yeah. It's mirrored. We couldn't see it, but
you
I
really
over.
Can't see in here. Yeah, yeah, I know. People always say, we wave at you, and I'm like, I can't always see, depending on. But there was a big groundbreaking yesterday across the street at 4th and Main. They are going to build a beautiful addition, and it's not going to mar the beauty of the existing building. In fact, the addition they built in 1929 is built so that you cannot see it from the 4th Street or Main Street facade.
Same, yeah.
And this is going to be the same way. Not that it's going to be ugly, but it's going to be more modern. They're going to try to tie it in and make it look. I mean, it's a historical building.
Right.
They're doing their due diligence. I was talking with one of the people on the engineering team yesterday afterwards. She and I met at our cars because I had to go to an appointment right after that was over. And so we were hugging and talking about all things. She's on the board of the Historical Society, and her engineering firm is...
Kelsey.
Kelsey is doing the work. Yeah, you know who it is, Kelsey.
I was like, you just gave it
Shout
away.
Shout out, Kelsey. But your husband was also there.
Yeah,
and while he was trying to pay attention to what was going on, he was a little bit preoccupied with some internet... He was on an international Zoom call?
Yeah, well...
From Quincy?
From Quincy. He's Quincy's only aerospace engineer, I think. he's a remote worker for Collins Aerospace, and yeah, so he had an important call. He really needed to be on, but he came and supported me, which was pretty awesome. I gotta say, A+ husband points there. But we had a great time with this groundbreaking. Like you said, we're gonna be cognizant of this building and what it means to people. But it needs to be more usable. I mean, honestly, we would love to see it as the showpiece that it is for the community. And what I love the most is, you know, we're getting a new bridge in 2027. Is that when we're getting a bridge?
No.
No. The bridge?
No. The bridge won't be here in 2027.
Oh, when do they start on the bridge?
Well, starting on the bridge and it being built
okay,
are two different...
It's
probably
someday.
More like 2030. But they are going to start.
Right. So it's already a project that's underway, and we're already thinking about how downtown looks when the new bridge comes in. So I guess that was my point, is we want this to be the gateway to the entire community. It is the gateway to the land of Lincoln. So we it will have the first Lincoln site, obviously the furthest west Lincoln site in Illinois. To make all that happen and to have this beautiful building here another 100 years, we need to upgrade it. So we need some changes. So we need the elevator is obviously important. But we're also putting a deck out the back so you can have a viewing deck of the Mississippi River, which I think will be beautiful. And then the new Gateway Welcome Center. So that should be really, I mean, it should be fabulous.
And the Lincoln materials
assassination
will be moved from 12th and State, which is great. They have a special room there. It has to all be hermetically sealed. I mean,
yeah,
it's amazing
cool.
What has to go to make this happen, because this is really, really high value security system. It has to be stored in
humidity
certain humidity.
Control,
I mean,
yeah.
It's crazy. But when they built that years ago, they put a lot of effort into that, so it will be easy to transfer. Now, they don't have to start from scratch. They've got the system down. They just have to relocate it to 4th and Main.
You know, I got to say, that is probably Quincy's most interesting and historically relevant exhibit, and nobody sees it because it's like under the stairs at the John Wood Mansion's Visitor Center.
Yeah, but you can go. You just have
to
know it's
you
there.
You have to know it's there to ask,
honey,
right?
Honey, let's face it.
Yeah.
Half the kids that go to John Wood Community College don't know who John Wood was. So
that's probably
we really have a problem in our community, and I hope 2025 Bicentennial will just shove enough stuff down people's throats that they're like, oh, yeah. I've heard of that guy.
Well, a lot of people really get into Lincoln history anyway, so this is a good
you
opportunity for that.
You can see the manacles that held the assassins.
I know.
It's
creepy.
Kind of creepy.
It's kind of a creepy display.
But, you know, if you want to see how they hanged them and everything, you know, I mean, it's... But anyway, the John Wood Mansion, the Historical Society has it at 12th and State. The mansion's open for the candlelight tours this week. They also have the Visitor Center, which has the Lincoln exhibit, and they have this beautiful history museum at 4th and Main, which Arts Quincy is definitely participating with $1.5 million gift to building this great addition, because tourism and economic development are what it's all about. In fact, that your husband is an aerospace engineer, despite, they asked, why would you move to Quincy? And he said, well, I only have two reasons to move to Quincy. I love Laura Sievert, Heseltine, and I want to be the only aerospace engineer in Quincy. So if there's another aerospace engineer out there, I want to hear from you, because, you know, Laura likes to take credit for things, which is good. She's responsible for a lot. But if she's pulling my leg on this aerospace thing, him being the only one, I want her called
on
the carpet.
It could be. There's some, you know, that we attracted a lot of remote workers during the pandemic and things like that. So I think that happens.
You never know. But this is going to be an economic boost. I mean, well, it really is. And that's what you're all about. I mean, yes, you support the arts, but you support the arts as a tourism and economy driver.
That's exactly right. And when you think about this, you know, I fought personally for this grant for almost 3 years before it was awarded, and then it was another, you know, amount of time before it got to our bank accounts. And I have to say, you know, when these dollars come along is not that common, but when they come along, we want to see them come into Quincy, and you want your Arts Council out fighting for it. So a lot of you know, a month ago, I was in quite a little battle with the City Council about our $25,000 contribution from our city.
It was kind of much ado about nothing.
It was much ado about nothing. But
lot of people supported you, but let me just be the devil's advocate.
Okay.
Their statement was, we can't be supporting not-for-profits, but they support Gretif,
right?
And they support the Chamber of Commerce. And so, yes, Arts Quincy is an economic development driver. And
right.
able to educate them on that, they all fell in line, because they sort of fell in line, but $25,000,
right?
They basically fell in line and said, don't anybody else come up here asking for money, because it's got to be an economic driver.
It's got to be an economic driver.
And Arts Quincy is the umbrella. You are the apex. You're the tip of the sword. It's all 50 of your organizations aren't coming to the City Council asking for money.
Right.
You're asking for money. You got money. And I think you'll continue to get money, because I think the City Council has now been educated. And I think that no matter who the next mayor is, Dan Brink says he's all for tourism and economic development. Mike Trope says he's all for tourism and economic development. And Linda Moore says she's all for tourism and economic development. So
and they're all at the groundbreaking. So.
And I think you're safe. Now,
yeah.
You still have to get it past the City Council, I understand. But I think that they now understand that this is not buying yarn for knitting projects. This
right.
is an economic development tool. And the state of Illinois, it's so weird. They require you. This is so bizarre. If they're going to give you any money, if they're going to give you $1.5 million, mm-hmm. you have to get $25,000 from the city.
I have to get something from the city. I have to have buy-in from the city. That actually,
I mean, that's almost crazy. It's like blackmail almost.
Well, no, I don't look at it that way at all. I think they want to know that your municipality supports what you're doing. And we were one of, at the time, as of this time last year, we were one of only two arts councils in the whole state that wasn't getting some form of city support, right? I mean, we for instance, we fund the entirety of the Oakley-Lindsay Center or the Convention and Visitors Bureau. That's all tax money, too, and hotel and motel and mm-hmm. hospitality taxes, you know, all city-driven dollars. Those state grants assign a value to each of the areas. So your narrative gets a point value. The city buy-in gets a point value. Your partnerships, like the Historical Society partnerships, gets a value. So it's like a rubric for grading my grant application. And they do want to see some city buy-in. But moreover, I want to see some city buy-in, because I can't go chasing million-dollar grants if I can't keep my staff. And, you mm-hmm. know, it takes donors, it takes grants, it takes city buy-in, it takes a combination of all of those things. And you want us out there doing that. And if you want to talk about return on investment, $1.5 million cost you $25,000. You did pretty good. I mean, you know, that's
I know, that's the point. And I think I sympathize and empathize with the council members who initially gave some pushback. From their point of view, you had to educate them. You did a good job. You went and you spoke before them and you educated them, because I know what they're thinking. They're thinking, oh my God, everybody's going to be calling us and wanting money. And you can't have that. The city doesn't have that much money, but they have money for economic development.
Right.
And they and specifically events, have a food and beverage tax.
For this reason.
For this very reason. And so, duh, you know, they did it.
Right.
So no use beating that dead horse. They did it. And I think in the future moving forward, you will have much less resistance. There will always be a few people who are resistant. But you only have to get, you know, there's 14 council members. You only have to get 8. So I think you won't
We just want to keep proving that value. I mean, besides this big project, we brought in another $100,000 to go out to the schools this year that is affecting every single K-5 in the entire county. You know, Arts Quincy is, like you say, it functions a lot more like the arts and culture version of a Chamber of Commerce or Greta. That's exactly how we function. We'll always be good stewards of donated funds, of city funds, of everybody. We work really hard. We've won the Better Business Bureau Award
twice.
Twice. The only one in all of St. Louis region to do it.
So all of this area, they're the only ones to ever win it twice. Quincy Park Band, Sunday, December 22nd at 3 p.m. at the Croc Center, sponsored by Shookings Menswear. A sleigh ride, a Christmas festival, a whole bunch of other stuff. Now, Jeff acted like he didn't know what was on the agenda.
Christmas music is on the agenda. But more importantly, what's on the agenda is, what do I want to say?
No.
It's a bit of a secret.
Yeah, don't.
There's something big coming.
There's something.
You're going to want to be there.
Could
you,
it be? Yes, it could.
Yes.
Something's coming. Something good. Out of the sky. Okay.
That was amazing. obviously, your park band stuff has been on my mind. I sent Mary a really funny video.
Stay tuned. Oh, my gosh.
Did you die?
We got to talk about that. I did.
Okay.
First of all, the park band is Sunday, December 22nd at 3, and there will be something very special that happens. So get there in plenty of time to be there for the opening baton drop, because at 3 o'clock something extraordinarily special is going to happen. It's all free of charge at the Croc Center Sunday at 3. Okay, we can't tell you what's going to happen. I know, but I can't tell you. And don't talk anymore
because you'll give it away. It's embargoed information.
Yes,
so, yeah.
And you're trying to get... I'm saving you because you're going to be in trouble.
Okay.
So be there Sunday at 3. And then the other thing we need to talk about is end-of-the-year giving.
Oh, I thought we were going to talk about the triangle video first.
Oh, the triangle video. Okay. As you all know, I only have two aspirations in life. One is to be employed by a cruise ship where I lay across the top of a piano in a piano bar and in a smoky, sultry voice sing, you know, torch songs at a cruise ship piano bar. That's my first and foremost vision. However, I may not be able to achieve that. So... Dan Sherman has worked with me for decades, and then he gave up. And he passed me on to Bill Mackold, who's now working with me, to perfect my triangle playing skills to the point where I can repeat, because I've already had a solo at the Quincy Park Band many years ago.
We'll get you back on the docket.
And I would like to be a soloist again at the Quincy Park Band on my triangle. And to... inspire me to practice even more. Laura Sievert sent me a TikTok video or something of you explain
the funniest, the funniest triangle player. I mean, he stole the show.
He did.
He stole the show, and I saw it. And I thought Mary needs to see this performance. That is inspiration.
I'm going to best him.
Danced out in front of the entire crowd. He did under the leg. He did
behind the back, behind over the back. Head.
Quality triangle performance. And I just thought, you know, if you want to up your game.
And, you know, the triangle's always back there in the corner where nobody ever sees us.
Yeah, exactly.
And so my triangle solo, I need to be up front like I was years ago in Madison Park, standing right out there in front.
That's
right. Pam Potter pointed, bing, and I did my solo. And then we went back in the supporting band, supported my effort. And then I had another solo.
What tune was it in, by the way?
It was The Typewriter.
Oh.
Did a little.
Yeah. Do you know another good one that's got a really good triangle solo at the very end is the Firebird Street Suite by Stravinsky. There's like half a page of triangle solo.
Well, you have pull.
I
don't. I just...
That might be a symphony orchestra thing, but I bet they would totally have you.
You know what? I am not exclusive to the Quincy Park Band. I have told Bill Mackold that I will perform for the Quincy Symphony too. So Bruce Briney, if you're listening...
Next time, the Firebird Suite, and cue it up.
The 25-26 symphony concert season, I would even do more than one triangle solo.
Well,
I would appear in every symphony piece that you had,
sure,
if it was necessary. You know, we have another guest waiting out there who you're supposed to be on for 5 minutes. I want to remind you.
I'm a bit of a talker.
You're supposed to be on for 5 minutes. It's now 9:34. Can we get to end of the year giving before I'm forced to shut you off?
Okay, I'm going to do end of the year giving quick. If you love what we do, like I said, it takes a lot of different types of funding to make it happen, and we will be great stewards of your funds. But more importantly, if you give before the end of the year, obviously it's tax deductible and can count for you this year. But if you give before the end of the year, every $25 you give gets an entry to win our original pastel drawing of the Lewis Round Barn at the Adams County Fairgrounds to kick off the bicentennial year. I think it's pretty good. Pretty good drawing.
The artist is Laura Sievert Heseltine.
It is. I'm trying to brag a little bit, but
so no, it's really good. I saw the original.
I've been nervous about it because we just sent out prints to our members. Did you get your print?
Not yet.
It's the mail's dragging a little bit.
The mail is dragging. You probably should have sent it out a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
I know, but you don't have enough staff. I understand.
It's true.
So support them, and next year you'll get your gift
a little
before
earlier.
Christmas.
Yeah. Actually, our printer was 10 days behind, but that's a whole other story. So if you haven't gotten your Christmas gift from us yet, it is on its way. They are in the post office somewhere. But it's a print of it, and it's been interesting to see them come in. The Art Center has it displayed. I'm like, oh, look at my print.
That is fantastic. Okay. Laura,
all right.
Always a pleasure. I won't see you the rest of the year. I mean, you're not going to be...
Okay.
Well, you're not going to be here on Christmas
Day.
You're
right. Christmas Day. You're right.
And then you're not going to be here the next day because it's New Year's Day.
I know. I'll be in
Iowa.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Okay.
We planned on you not being here.
Okay.
You'll be back,
okay,
and you'll be here every Wednesday taking much more than the 5 minutes, which...
They love me out there. Do you know
my boss goes? My boss goes, so why do you do that? I said, well, we really need to support the arts. He goes, okay, if it's only 5 minutes, I guess that's okay. It's like, what if it's 30 minutes, Bill? What if I can't get her to shut up? Oh, that's okay, too.
He knows it, too. We talk sports after I get out of here, you know,
God,
when he's outside. He's a Bama fan.
I know he is.
Oh, my gosh.
Alabama and Illinois could have played in the bowl game. They could have played in the Citrus Bowl against each other. Instead, we got South Carolina.
Do you know who we're playing? Iowa's playing? Mizzou. So
yeah.
I have degrees from both schools.
So are you going to go to Nashville for the game?
We talked about it. I don't think so. I think.
But yeah. I said, wouldn't it be the perfect storm? Who would use our season tickets to get the pass? Because they're Illini season tickets.
Oh,
so
nice.
I was going to say to Bill, I want the Illini season tickets to be used for my ticket.
This is the Illinois, so I think you would win that battle.
I don't know. He's the boss. But I would say, now, if you want to sit with me, you can wear your Alabama crap, but you'll be in a sea of orange. But it never came to fruition, which is why I'm still employed here.
Right.
Thank you, Laura. Happy Christmas.
You too.
Mrs. Heseltine.
That's right.
I will see you again next year.
Sounds good.
Thank you. We'll be back. Kate Kimber's sitting out there going, I don't know if United Way can support the Arts Center, because I've been sitting out here, Arts Quincy, I've been sitting out here for 20 minutes waiting to get on the air. Wait a little bit longer, Kate, because we got to head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative and make some money to pay for all this free stuff we give to Heseltine. 9:38, we'll be right back. And by the way, here's something good I'm doing. Listen up, Laura.
Oh.
I had VIP tickets to see the Taylor Swift show.
Oh.
And, of course, I invited my little three-year-old.
Yes.
And my cousin. And, you know, I invited, and I get this text 2 days ago. Pinky, can we get one more ticket? One of the other little cousins wants to come.
Aww.
So I wrote back and said, I will surrender
my
Taylorville ticket to you. All you have to do is take a picture of their overabiding joy.
Oh, it'll be
when
fun.
When she comes out of state. And Scott has felt so sorry for me. He's played Taylor Swift every morning this week. The old Taylor that I like.
Old anyway. Taylor.
And now Kimber's going, shut up. I want to get on. I've got work to do. Okay. We'll be back with Kate Kimber from the United Way. She's really much nicer than that. She would never tell me to shut up. She's thinking it, but she would never tell me. We'll be right back. Kate Kimber has been pushed back again. This time... Oh, no! I hung up on her. Oh, no, I hung up on them. Here I go. Kate Kimber has been pushed back again, this time by Debbie Moore. Debbie, are you there? Did I hang up on you?
No, I'm right here.
Oh, God. Listen, first of all, give a shout out to the United Way. They're giving up precious time for you this morning, okay?
Oh, bless their hearts. Thank you. Thank you. I owe them.
If you want to listen, Kate, there's a set of headphones over there. If you don't, that's fine, too. Debbie Moore is here around the corner. Debbie Moore is here, and it still is hard for me to, I know you've been married for 10 years, but still hard for me to call you Debbie Moore, not Debbie Amath. But anyway, that's another story for another day.
Imagine.
I mean, you can't probably you can't keep all your names straight. You're like the,
I can't put them all on Facebook. Yeah. I'm an overachiever. I don't know what to tell you. There's just not enough space.
You're the Susan Lucci.
I'm something.
But we have got something really special that's happening in the city of Quincy. And I want to make sure everybody knows about this, because I was thinking when I first talked to you about this used shoe donation, and I thought, no, I don't have any shoes that I don't wear. I've got 40 pairs of dance clothes, but I wear them all. But then I started going through Bears fans closet and my closet. I'm like, now, wait a minute. That pair of shoes I haven't worn for 3 years. Get rid of those. So this is basically, in a nutshell, what is happening. Here locally in Quincy, we're collecting gently used men's, women's, and children's shoes. And these will be collected and bundled and literally shipped to a third world, totally impoverished country, where a lovely woman who is trying to support her children and her family will get these shoes, and she will be able to open a used shoe store, and she will be able to feed her family from the sales of these used shoes. Did I get it in a nutshell?
That is it. That is it. And we are helping a Blessed Sacrament school in the meantime.
Well, that's the great thing about it. The thing I love about it is Blessed Sacrament School has a mission. The children there have a mission to Haiti, and they have partnered with a school down there. And when you think about the fact that children, you know, even in kindergarten through eighth grade, the eighth graders can kind of wrap their heads around it, but the littlest kids are raising money for Haiti because they have to build a barbed wire fence around the school in Haiti so that the girls and boys aren't kidnapped by guerrilla warriors. When you think about the little, you know, playground there at 8th and Adams, and how the kids go out and play every day, a couple of times a day at recess and lunch,
right.
And how free they are to run and play. And we put up a security gate to keep cars from running over them, but we certainly don't have an armed guard out there to keep them from being stolen. So this money goes to help Blessed Sacrament School, yes, and Haiti, yes. But really the critical part of this, Debbie Moore, for you is the fact that these women, entrepreneurs, they're trying to get capitalism in their third world countries. They're going to take these used shoes from Quincy, Illinois, and the surrounding area, and they are going to be able to resell those shoes and make money to feed their family, because they really are poor.
Or have shoes for themselves and their family.
Yeah.
You know? Exactly. And we're really, really excited about it, because it's also helping those of us who just have held on to those shoes because we might wear them someday. And we know we'll never wear those high heels again. We were crazy to wear them when we did. And we all have 4 or 5 pair of those in a different color, don't we?
Yeah, and I've got high heels, you're right. That's what I was saying. I went through my closet, and I'm like, now, Mary, realistically.
I know.
You're not going to wear those again. I mean,
exactly.
So everybody's got a pair of man's shoes, a pair of woman's shoes, children's shoes. Everybody's got shoes lying around in their closet, maybe down the very back. So what you need to do is you need to get them to these bins. There's a collection bin at Emerald City Jewelers at 20th and Main. There's a collection bin at Town and Country Center at 33rd, Town Center at 33rd and Broadway. And there's a collection bin at Blessed Sacrament Church at 7th and Adams. The good news is...
And Ace Hardware.
And Ace Hardware. Okay, I'll add them to
my
list.
And Ace Hardware on Broadway.
Now, well, of course, why wouldn't it be Ace Hardware with the Neimans and their ties?
Exactly.
Okay. Very good. Now, the good news is...
They gave us the bin.
They got the bins for you. This is fantastic, because you don't have to do it before Christmas. Everybody's like,
you know what?
Griffith,
if you need space.
That's right. If you need space and you want to offload, you can. Or if you just say, I can't even begin to get in that closet until after Christmas. When is the deadline for this?
The pickup date is the second week of January.
Okay. So everybody has to have the bins filled by the second week in January. And again, this benefits our local school and what they're trying to do to help children that are peers of theirs in Haiti. And we pray for them all the time. These kids pray for each other. The kids in Haiti pray for the kids in Quincy, and the kids in Quincy pray for the kids in Haiti. And it's just a beautiful relationship that they have developed. And then you're going to help a smiling woman who is going to get these shoes sent to her in a third world mm-hmm. country, and she's going to be able to open her little shoe shop, and she's going to mm-hmm. bring some cash into her family and be able to buy food
right.
and maybe send
right.
her kids to school.
Going to take her little rack and roll it out into the street.
It's going to be
sell her
fantastic.
Shoes. Yes.
Okay.
We've been so blessed, haven't we?
We have been.
The average, I have to tell you, statistics prove the average household has 28 pair of unused or unwanted shoes in their house. So those of us who are overachievers need to get them quickly to a bin. And the rest of us, good grief, it won't take long for us to reach a huge goal. And we're looking for everybody's help.
Okay. Ace Hardware on Broadway in Quincy, about 17th and Broadway to be
exactly.
exact. Emerald City, 20th and Main. Town Center, 33rd and Broadway. Blessed Sacrament Church, 7th and Adams. You can drop it off anytime now between the middle of January. Don't delay. Get the shoes in the bin. They're having bundling parties. The kids are active and involved. The charities are involved. Everybody's doing this to help not only our local school, but to help families in these desperate third world countries have a capitalistic form of life and make their own living. Debbie Moore, thank you very much. If somebody wants more information, is there a number or a website, or how can they learn more?
Well, actually, yeah, they can feel free to give us a call. Give me a call, 217-430-8503. We are getting a website put together, but we're not real techie people, so we're a little slow on this. But yeah, there should be a website up, or actually it's a Facebook page that'll be up. I don't know. I'll have to call you next week.
We'll call me next week.
Information.
So it's 217-430-8503. Okay, 217-430-8503. Debbie, thank you so very much.
Thank you. And I would tell you that in this holiday time that we're in, if you want to teach a child anything about being part of a community, and it doesn't cost anything to go around and ask people for some new shoes, teach a child to give back. That's the greatest thing about this whole holiday season, isn't it?
It is. I thank you so very much, and you have a great Christmas.
You too. Bye.
Okay, thank you. Debbie Moore, and she's spearheading this drive to collect men's, women's, and children's shoes in Quincy. Kate Kimber was supposed to be on the air at 9:25. It is 9:50. But fortunately, she's a sweet, caring, and loving person, and now we're going to take a break. When we come back, she's ready now. She's got her talking points memorized by now. We'll be back. Kate Kimber is here. She's been here for almost an hour. And now she wants to talk about the United Way, and we're going to let her finally on the Mary Griffith Show. Kate Kimber, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
My check is in the mail. No, you've actually received it. You said you've already received my check for my United Way donation. People give at different times. Some people write a check in August. Some people write a check in November, December. Some people won't write a check till February. Please don't do that. Write a check now. It's important that we support the United Way. And let's talk a little bit about how those dollars are stretched, how you make those dollars go farther and go do more.
Yeah, of course. So I think what a lot of people don't know is it's not us at the United Way that decides where the money goes. We have a group of volunteers. There are community members. I believe you've served on this volunteer committee with the resource reinvestment. So I always like to say that our money is raised within the community. It's allocated within our community, and it stays within our community. So it's a group of volunteers. They come, they meet with our partner agencies who present the programs that it'll be funding, whether it be for the cost of volunteers, whether it be for therapy for kids in school, whether it be to keep horizons, just to fund their programs with the hot meals. But no matter what the program is, these executives from these other nonprofits in the area come, they present to our volunteers. Our volunteers are then given documentation of the signs of success, ensuring there's no duplication, because if we're all providing hot meals, then we're missing out on a bunch of other needs within our community. So we're making sure there's no duplication, everything's showing signs of success, and then they're the ones that allocate the money. And then very often, the programs that they go to, they receive a government match. So say you donate $1 to the United Way. after the resource reinvestment process, if it's given to an agency with a match, it can become so much as $4 to $5. So I know, I believe it's Transitions. They have a 3 or 4 to 1 match.
Yeah. And so that's just every United Way dollar they get is tripled, if not quadrupled. And this happens on a lot of United Way agencies.
Yep.
So, you know, yes, give to the agency, but also give the United Way, because there are special ways to make your dollar stretch more.
Exactly.
And again, there's three prongs to this. There's the donor, and then there's which the loan executives help get those donors. And then there's those are all volunteers. And there's volunteers who decide to allocate the money. And then there are, of course, agencies, I've been on that side of it too, that ask for the money.
Mm-hmm.
So I've worn all three hats, and I will tell you that this money is very frugally spent. It is vetted. Everybody walks in and says, this is a great program and I need money for it. Well, guess what? That's a speech you're going to hear 19 or 20 times.
Yep.
But you have to prove it. You have to show results. The United Way is really, it has been for the last 10 years, really into results-driven data, right?
Yes. We like the results-driven data, but also we recognize that, so say, the Girl Scouts.
Yeah, it's going to take 20 years to determine if the child is not in prison, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. We understand that aspect of it, that some of these are long-term results that we're going to see. But we just did our brand refresh, and we have 4 new pillars instead of 3, which is really cool. But one of them is a community resiliency, is the newest pillar, which is kind of the one that all the other ones are kind of built off of our previous 3 pillars. But this is kind of the new one, is the community resiliency. And that is a big part of our resource reinvestment process, as well as they're looking at community resiliency with all these partner agencies. Are they going into something that is going to help our community stand long term? So even if it is the long term results, we recognize
right.
that as well.
It can't always just be short term. I think if you want to liken it to maybe something that's happening in the news, and FEMA and the United Way are not intertwined, so I'm just using this as an analogy. FEMA has now, they're talking about, FEMA may be unable to immediately respond to some of these disasters, but the United Way can. So perhaps it would be better, just like when we had our Hospitality Inn or whatever that place,
mm-hmm.
Welcome Inn, when it closed down, we didn't wait for the federal government to come in and find a place for those people to live. Mayor Trope called the United Way and
yep.
said, this is going to happen. It's going to happen on this day, and we have got to have things in place. And because we're a resilient community and we want to build that resiliency, we were able to do that. When COVID hit, the federal government said, we can't do it all. We've got to have trusted partners. So United Way and Community Foundation were the trusted partners in this area. You have boots on the ground here. You know what's happening. So we need to build that resiliency, because you don't know when the next flood, tornado, fire, or economic downturn is coming, and we have to be here for the long term.
Exactly. I mean, the United Way, it's one of those things where our outreach is over 34,000
people serve,
yeah,
people touch,
people within
directly.
The community, yeah, and 2/3 of those are youth, but that's 50% of Adams County. And so while we hope that our relationship with our community stays maybe just donor and we help you if needed, it's growing. And that's something that it's scary to look at, but it's also we need to be here for our community. We need to build that community resiliency, so if disaster does strike, we're there to help you, and we're there to help our community. We have all these strong community partners that are also willing to pitch in and also willing to help out as well.
Okay, less than a minute left. People are at the time of year when they're giving, they're thinking about making a donation, maybe in honor of, give your gift in honor of somebody to the United Way. They don't need some other tchotchke. How can we contribute?
You can mail us a check, 936 Broadway, Suite F, or you can go to our website and donate on our website, donate now. You can drop a check off at our location, and if you have any questions about what we do, please ask while you're there. We'd love to give you a tour and chat.
Don't be afraid to ask questions. They've heard it.
They
want to defend their position. And also, for the love of Pete, if you live in Adams County and you haven't signed your kid up birth to 5 for the Dolly Parton Imagination Library, it's free. Please go to the United Way website. If you don't give to the United Way, we don't care. But everybody can receive from
yep.
the United Way. Every child in Adams County gets a free book every month from the Dolly Parton Imagination Library. All you have to do is sign up. And every month, if you've got five kids, you'll get five books mailed to your house. They'll all be age appropriate. This is one of the best things the United Way has ever done to build that resiliency, which is literacy. You don't know it's going to work until 20 years down the road,
yep.
But we're building it now. Kate Kimber, thank you.
Thank you.